Hello, and welcome to Nonfiction Friends, where truth is stranger than fiction. I am your host,
Josh. I'm Rebecca.
And we're here doing a special spotlight on comics.
It's comic book day!
Yes. Yeah, and also in honor of that, you know, we're of course talking about comics because we read a lot of those.
Because we read a lot of comics.
They're very good and quicker than books.
Yes.
I like pictures.
I like words on pictures.
Yeah. A lot of times, although I will say it's reverse for me. When I was a kid, I liked chapter books more.
Yes.
But as I'm getting older and I have less time for things.
Exactly.
I think I like comics more.
Right.
And or graphic novels.
Graphic novels are my jam.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But I also read a lot of webcomics too. So, there's that.
I have a hard time with the webcomic situation.
It's difficult. I don't typically like reading on an electronic device.
Yeah.
Like a Kindle or a computer or yes. a phone or yeah. a tablet, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
I like physical things. Yes. Like I've said before, I like it when I'm reading a book and it can hit me in the face when I fall asleep.
Instead of your iPad, which would really hurt.
That would really hurt.
And you might hurt the iPad.
Are you telling me that I have a hard head?
Just saying. I don't like reading on a digital device because if the letters are really small in the chat box, you have to click on it and blow them up. And then, like, you don't get the picture at the same time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't like that. But, you know, when your library has a long wait list for a comic book, or you're poor and you can't afford to buy comics like moi, then, you know, Hoopla and the free services are great.
Yeah, because technically we have a great array of comic books, not just in the library, but also, you know, through Hoopla and Comics Plus.
And RB Digital. Which now has comics, which is super cool.
We have a lot of comics.
We have a very large selection of comics.
Electronically. Well, and physically. I think
combined.
I think because our collection in the library is actually growing. We've actually recently had to make room for our growing collection.
Yeah.
So we can bring in more because they've been highly requested.
I feel like we had a part in that, don't you?
I've requested several comic books over the past few years.
Yeah.
They're here and you can check them out.
Yeah. Because now we're done reading them.
Yes, now we're done reading them. Mm-hmm. But now you can enjoy them because we ordered them.
Because we're done.
Yeah. So
So we're going to talk about some of our favorite comics.
DC versus Marvel. No, we're not
no.
doing that.
Because there is no argument there. It's
that DC's
Marvel.
Better. Okay. See. In terms of comic books, I think DC's has better storylines. That's the end of that.
Listen. But, yeah, we can just go over
stories.
This. Just all day
Look,
long.
I'm telling you, I tried recently to read a Marvel comic, and it got so out of hand that I got lost.
Yeah, I can see that. However, I have tried recently to read a DC comic, and I was bored.
No, you just gotta wait for the... It's building to drama, you know? It has to set up. Like, while Marvel just drops you in somewhere and just like, oh, here's what's going on.
Instant gratification with Marvel.
Absolutely. There's too many verses.
Who is the distributor, I guess, for your comics?
My comic, I think it's Boom. No, wait.
Does it say anywhere? Mine is Marvel, of course, because I'm a one-note kind of gal.
I think it's Boom. Yeah.
Yeah, Boom. Boombox. Yeah. Right there.
So.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go first because Marvel is the best.
That's not true at all. But,
how's that?
All
right. Okay, so you might have seen recently, what was it,
a year or two ago?
The amazing Marvel movie, Into the Spider-Verse.
Okay, I might have seen that.
Everyone
like,
has seen that because
like
it's amazing. You can find it in our collection as a DVD.
Yes.
You can
Check
also find the soundtrack, which is also amazing.
Very good soundtrack.
On
I have
Hoopla.
It.
You can find it on Hoopla.
Hoopla.
I'm going to be talking about the Spider-Verse comic series, where to find it, how to read it, etc., etc. Some backstory of Spider-Man. His first appearance was in Amazing Fantasy number 15 in August of 1962.
Imagine being in 1962 and you hear about a superhero called Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. I would have been like, no, thank you.
No, thank you. No spiders.
He must have eight arms. That's disgusting.
What did the Spider-Man do?
Yes.
They have extra appendages.
Yes. And some spider suits do.
Yes.
Which is gross. Let's see. Other appearances in the Spider-Verse are Spider-Gwen, a.k.a. Spider-Woman, Gwen Stacy. She appears actually in the book I'm going to be talking about, Edge of Spider-Verse, number 2, in September of 2014. You might have also heard of Miles Morales.
You might have heard of him.
He's a Spider-Man in one of the universes. His first appearance was in Ultimate Fallout, number 4, in August of 2011. And the Spider-Verse also features the Korean Spider-Woman, Silk, whose first appearance is Amazing Spider-Man number 1 in April of 2014.
I do like Silk.
Yeah.
Silk's a good
character. She's beautiful.
Yes, very good character.
Spider-Verse itself came out in November of 2014. The sequel to Spider-Verse is Spider-Geddon in 2018.
That's a great name, by the way.
Spider-Geddon. The prequel is Edge of Spider-Verse, which came out just before Spider-Verse in August of 2014. The prelude to Edge of Spider-Verse, this is where you get kind of confused, was the Free Comic Book Day 2014 Guardians of the Galaxy collection. Now, the synopsis for Spider-Verse is when the evil inheritors begin exterminating spider characters throughout the multiverse.
Yup.
Every single Spider-Man ever is needed to save the day. An interdimensional spider army gathers to fight Morlun, who is a psychic vampire from yes. Earth-001, by the way, and his deadly family, the Inheritors, who are also all psychic vampires.
Yep.
But none of them is safe as the prophecy comes to fruition. What will this brutal war for survival mean for Peter Parker and the rest of the spiders? Starring... Are you ready for this list?
Oh, are you going to list the Spider-Man?
Yes. Okay.
There's actually a lot. I think I know most of them.
Superior Spider-Man?
Yes.
The Ultimate Universe is Miles Morales?
Superior Doc Ock?
I don't think so.
One of them is Doc Ock.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's Superior.
Interesting. No, because that's where I started.
I could be wrong.
And it's not.
Well, no, it's like Doc Ock in Peter Parker's body.
Oh, golly, I haven't gotten that far then.
Okay.
Miles Morales and Jessica Drew, Spider-Man 2099, Spider-Woman.
It's a very cool name.
Right. Silk, Kane, Scarlet Spider, MC2's Spider-Girl, Spider-Man Noir.
Spider-Man Noir is so cool.
He is cool. Spider-Man 1602, which is also a really cool Spider-Man.
Yes.
Spider-Ham, Spider-Monkey.
That's always a spider.
Lady Spider, Spider-Punk. Spider UK, who has a really cool suit.
Spider Punk looks really cool too.
And a spider powered Gwen Stacy, and hundreds more from the beloved to the obscure.
Very obscure. There's very obscure spider people. Yes. In there. I'm pretty sure there's a spider robot somewhere down the line.
Yeah. And the movie is a different version of the Spider-Verse arc, but. A lot of the same characters appear in there. So if you want to read Spider-Verse, you want to start with Edge of Spider-Verse, the graphic novel, which collects Superior Spider-Man, Edge of Spider-Verse, Amazing Spider-Man, and Spider-Man 2099. You are going to have to jump around a little bit, but you can find it both in our collection, on Hoopla, and on RB Digital. So you can do that. And then you move on to Spider-Verse, which, again, you're going to have to hop around in if you want to read it chronologically like I do. But it collects a lot of different ones, so I'm not going to go over that. But, again, you can find it in our collection in the teen graphic novel section under SPI for Spider-Verse. You can find it on Hoopla, and you can find it on RB Digital, both of which you can access the links to on our website, osceolalibrary.org.
Yeah. Cool.
There you go.
So how far are you along in that?
I may have just started.
Oh, well, okay. I won't say anything then.
I have read
I mean, there's a lot of issues in this series because
yes.
It's just, and they're very the timeline is very
I should clarify
hard to keep track of.
That I have only just started the Spider-Verse graphic novel. However, I have read editions within the Spider-Verse series. Like, I've read the Gwen Stacy comics and I've read the Miles Morales comics.
Right. Like, the Spider-Verse, like, series is connecting all of those different storylines. Yes. Like, while they're happening, but this is also happening simultaneously.
Yes.
So, you could technically read each individual story.
Yes.
And then, like enjoy that, like, in its own right. But yes. Also, this is happening, too.
Yes. The nice thing about Marvel Comics, I think DC does this, too. If some dialogue references a past event, they'll tell you like, what. Hey,
in this issue, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So, my comic, I'm not talking about DC, unfortunately.
Good.
But I will talk about a series that I read recently, and I have featured on the podcast, I think, one time that I mentioned that I was reading, called The Backstagers. This comic was originally published August 17th in 2016. The author is James Tynion IV.
Oh.
So this comic is, I'll read a brief synopsis.
Okay.
All the world's a stage, but what happens behind the curtain is pure magic. Quite literally. When Jory transfers to an all-boys private high school, he's taken in by the only ones who don't treat him like a new kid, the lowly stage crew known as the Backstagers. Not only does he gain great lifetime friends, Jory is also introduced to an entire magical world that lives behind the curtain. With unpredictable twists and turns of the underground world, the Backstagers venture into the unknown, determined to put together the best play their high school has ever seen.
Oh.
So it's about, like, you know, the world behind stage.
Cute. Like, that makes
That makes productions work and stuff. And, like, you know, there's always talk about, like, you know, magic, you know, like theater magic and stuff like that. But this is, like, taking it quite literally.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, there is magic behind stage. And, like, sometimes it's, like, really cool, but most of the times it's very dangerous.
Oh, cool.
I did a little bit of theater when I was in high school. So, if you can believe that.
I can.
Yeah.
Quite easily.
I mean, I enjoyed it. It helped me get over a lot of, like, public speaking fright and, like, just...
That's good.
Stuff like that.
No judgment here, man.
It made me... It helped me express, like, different parts of myself that, you know, I wasn't realized that I was, like, suppressing. So yeah. It's very cool. Theater's very awesome.
Yes. Indeed.
A little bit about the author. Prior to his first professional work, Tynion was a student of Scott Snyder, a very famous DC writer.
Yeah, you know? Yep.
At Sarah Lawrence College, a few years later, he worked for Vertigo as, I don't know if you know, Fables, that mm-hmm. comic series.
Yeah.
Editor Shelley Bond's intern in late 2011, with DC deciding to give Batman a backup feature. Tynion was brought in by request of Scott Snyder to script the backups he had plotted. So him and Scott Snyder have a good relationship.
That's cool.
Yeah. Tynion would later do the same with Batman Annual Number 1, which was also co-plotted by Snyder. Beginning in September 2012 with DC's Zero issue month for the New 52, Tynion would be writing Talon with art by Gillian March in 2013, he was announced that he'd take over the writing duties for Red Hood and the Outlaws, another popular series.
Yeah.
In April, Tynion is currently working. Is currently one of the working writers on a rotating team in the weekly Batman Eternal series.
Nice.
So you'll see his work in a lot of DC stuff now too, not just the Backstagers, which is more of a. I will say it's less Backstagers is like less action packed and like gritty. It's more like.
Right.
Soft and magical and
fun.
Fantasy and fun.
Yeah, cool.
The illustrator, part of the reason why I like the Backstager so much, it's very nice art to look at.
It
very
looks, yeah.
Pops of color.
Pops of color.
Reminds me of like different things like Steven Universe.
Steven Universe, yep.
If you like stuff like that, then I definitely recommend the series.
Who doesn't love Steven Universe? Party poopers.
The party poopers. the illustrator Rian Singh. Yeah, Rian Singh is an artist and a living enigma working out of Glendale, California, with his partner and two cats.
Nice.
He's done both illustration and sequential work with Boom Studios, Diamond, HarperCollins, Oni Press, Valiant, and D2 Publishing. So artwork across the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
He's an artist and co-creator of Prism and award-winning Backstagers, which I'll talk about in a little bit. Currently, he works in the animation industry, most recently as a background painter and VizDev team member on She-Ra.
She-Ra!
Yeah, which I also love.
I can see that connection.
So you can,
yeah.
So if you technically look at the art for Backstage, you can see like a connection to like things like She-Ra, which, yes, you know, is also beautiful. You should also watch.
Yep.
It's very mm-hmm. amazing, and I highly recommend. So Backstagers was actually nominated for several awards, for several GLAAD awards. They actually won a 2017 Prism Award for Best Single Issue from a mainstream publisher. That was, I think, issue number one or won that. So very good.
That's awesome.
Comic, and I highly recommend it. We have the physical copies, which I have right here.
Mm-hmm.
As well as the digital copies on Hoopla.
Cool.
So if you can't get it now in physical form, you can check it out on Hoopla and let me know what you think.
I love the title of the first one is called Rebels Without Applause.
Rebels Without Applause. And then number two is The Show Must Go On. And then three is Encore.
Oh, I like that cover.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like
very
that
very beautiful art. Mm-hmm. These are teen graphic novels.
Yeah.
So you can find them there.
Meaning they're, what would be like PG-13 rating?
I would give them like a PG rating at most.
There's no like bad words?
No.
No. Mm-mm.
No. It's very LGBTQ positive.
Great, 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 great.
Great. I don't know. It's just fun.
A you positive
love, if
experience.
You, if you love theater, definitely check it out.
Yeah, I might have to check that out. It looks nice.
But yeah, those are the comics that I'm talking
about. Yeah, that also kind of covers what we're currently reading as well. So
yeah, hey, check out Spider-Verse stuff and the Backstagers.
Yeah,
and it's a very different spectrum, but we're covering every base that we can.
Mine is more obviously traditional comic book universe, like superhero stuff. Yeah. But the Spider-Verse is actually, like, because Peter Parker's a funny dude. Miles Morales is funny. Gwen Stacy's cool.
That's why I love Spider-Man in general. Because, like, all of their comics, like, across, like, spider people are just known for being sassy and funny and, like, you know, quick, like, one-liners and quips.
Yep.
And
which I love.
I just think it's very relatable.
Yes.
He's probably one of the most relatable superheroes.
Yeah.
I think.
Just an average dude that gets bit by a spider.
Yeah. So, definitely my favorite superhero. Just throwing that out there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
But that covers our reading recommendations, and we're still doing virtual programming, so check that out.
Yep, as always.
As always.
Curbside pickup.
Yeah.
If you don't want to come in the library, you can call ahead and get curbside pickup.
Yeah, I'll be more than happy to bring out the Backstagers to you.
Yes.
So.
Personal appearance.
Yeah.
By our nonfiction
friends. I'll
wave
to you from afar.
Safely with a mask on.
Safely with a mask on. Without further ado, I think that's going to do it for us here. But please check out some stuff. And just remember, we love our listeners.
And that's Nonfiction Friends.